Welcome to Shuffle Bloody Shuffle, where we unearth metal's bangers and clangers through the decades.
I'm good.
I'm still lingering. I'm good. Grind week.
We nearly forgot this.
I'm really
surprised because this is a week I look forward to.
You're quite grindy, aren't you? You're quite a...
I like it, but I've got no real knowledge on it. And I find, for me, it's a short burst thing. Like there's not that many grind albums that I can listen to from start to finish.
Okay. They're quite short though, aren't they? So got that in their favour.
They do. Well, saying that though, one of the ones we're doing today wasn't that short for a grind album.
No, true. Okay, yeah. So the albums we got gifted: Brutal Truth, Need to Control, which came out in 1994, and then a split between Agoraphobic Nosebleed and Converge, The Poacher Diaries, which came out in 1999, I want to say.
Yeah, it was 1999. Yeah,
1999. I mean, have you been into any of these bands prior? I know you're into Converge, obviously, but
I've heard all these bands prior, but Brutal Truth is apart from the odd song, they seem to be one of those bands to me that would always come up. You know, when you finish listening to an album on Spotify and then it sort of suggests and more sort of it carries on, sort of it's like a playlist that is put together for you. I don't know what bands it was, but Brutal Truth used to always come on.
So I've heard
the odd song by them, but I've never jumped into an album properly. And the same with Agoraphobic Nosebleed, not exactly the same, but I've heard bits and pieces by them before. Well, I heard this split years ago, and you know, so I've heard the song, those songs, and I've heard bits and pieces of other albums by them as well. But they're one of
interesting
those
bands.
Yeah,
they're an interesting one.
Yeah. We'll get into them. We'll wait till we get to them to talk about them.
All right. Well, I guess, let's just dive on in then. We'll start with Brutal Truth, Need to Control. It came out on Earache in 94. Was it their second album?
They did one called Extreme Conditions Demand Extreme Responses, which came out in 92.
Yeah, I mean, Earache, that's pretty big.
It is big. It sounded like they didn't have a great time with Earache, though. They only did two albums with them. I think they mainly became a relapse band, I think, for most of their career.
Oh, okay. Just straight from the top then. How did you get on with this?
Oh, man. Do you know what? I'm interested to hear what you think, but I absolutely love this album.
I definitely thought this is going to be a Mike week when I was listening to both these albums.
Really? And you were right. And you were correct about that.
Bang on.
Well, this Brutal Truth album, I just assumed it was going to be quite straight up grindcore. I was really surprised when I first went to put it on and I saw that the runtime on it was like 40 odd minutes.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, this is like, I wonder what's going on here, because you have this sort of assumption, don't you? Grind album, it's probably going to be maybe a sub 20 minute album, you know, of like 12 songs or whatever. And it's done.
Yeah. If it's ever over 30, then there's probably more than 20 songs on there.
Yeah. Whereas this is like, what was it? 14 songs, 14, 15 songs. Yeah. And in 40 minutes. And so it was quite surprising. And even the album from the off, the first song, it's not a fast one that they start off with at all, is it?
Collapse.
Yes, it is called. It's where my fucking hell. Yeah, it's called Collapse. Yeah, and that's a 5 minute kind of slower song, and it was a really good opening track as well. It was kind of like one main riff, wasn't it? That was sort of looping round.
Yeah, it was strange because, when we put it on, I was like, this isn't very grindy. It was it felt more like a build-up to the album that was going to follow, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
There were some cool moments in it. The main riff that went throughout was a little bit sluggish and it kind of didn't excite me too much, but I enjoyed the kind of, they had like some industrial kind of machinery clanking in.
They did, yeah.
I quite enjoyed.
I actually felt like it was a little bit, it's a bit quite post-metal almost.
In my note, I put it's a poor man's Neurosis.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I suppose it's it hasn't got that the kind of depth of like a Neurosis song, has it? It's quite simple in that sense, but it's got that vibe, hasn't it, of post-metal. And this would have been kind of, this is 94, isn't it? So this would have been kind of around the time of early post-metal as well. So it's quite ahead of its time.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't really think about it in that setting. Yeah, it was quite posty. And then it sort of kicked in on track two, Black Door Mine.
Yeah.
Straight up, you're like, okay, now the grind is here.
This is where the grind's arrived.
The grind's arrived. Someone let that grind in.
Yeah, and they someone's opened the door and the grind's strode in. As quick as you like.
Well, after 5 minutes. It had that kind of mixed vocal, like the low end with the high screech thing going on.
Yeah.
I quite enjoyed.
Yeah, he's... I think he's just the one vocalist, right? I think he was doing all of it.
I believe so. I'm not entirely sure, but I think it is.
Yeah, but there's one thing I noticed on this album, and there's a reason I really loved it, was there were so many interesting little bits that they would add to every song, I felt. Yep. Compared to, like, with a lot of grind albums, it's often just full-on fast, like, you can't massively make out what the guitars are doing, potentially, and that's probably part of the appeal as well. But I found with this, like, there'd be adding bits or there'd be riffs in there that would be interesting and a bit different.
Yeah.
And really well executed as well. I thought the performances on it, like the way the guitar parts and the drumming and so it was all played, was really, really tight.
Yeah, I agree. I think especially that's kind of noticed with in track four, God Player.
Yeah.
They had a really cool, like, discordant kind of intro that the track kind of felt a bit more groove than grind.
Yeah.
And then it all obviously kind of kicks up in a minute or so. But yeah, they, like you said, they add kind of weird bits to each song that just kind of make it all a little bit different.
Well, there was a bit in that song, it was about 2 minutes in, where they did like a sort of a lead line. It was almost like a mini little solo bit.
Yeah, and it was actually around 1:40, I think.
All right, fair enough. But that was really cool, that bit. That was one of the bits when I was listening to this album the first time, I thought, wow, actually, this is a bit special, I thought, at that point.
With that song, there was sort of like a weird sort of mouth harp. Did you hear that? Like,
no.
Wow, wow. It's like a weird... Listen to it again, and you know, like the health, mouth harps. Those weird...
Yeah.
It sounded a lot
Was that
like
throughout?
That. No, it was around the 3 minute mark. Just sort of had a weird sort of like flutter of it. But yeah, it was an interesting... That song was an interesting listen, for sure.
Yeah, I liked it, man. Really liked it. It's one of my favourites, I think, off it.
It was definitely a standout. Yeah. I liked track three as well, actually. I thought that was really cool. It was like, the drums were insane on it.
The drummer's so good, isn't it?
Yeah, on he's this insane.
Yeah, he's really, really good. It's so consistent. I was like the snare, I didn't think it sounded sampled, but it was so... I couldn't tell because there was the dynamics of it. It was just always the same hit, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, really regimented, but so,
really regimented. Yeah,
yeah. Do you reckon triggered or?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Or just good.
I mean, he's really good. You can tell he's really, really good. Like some of his double pedal work as well, and it was amazing.
Yeah, definitely was.
But track three that you were talking about, I really liked that one as well. And the bit that was, I thought was cool, was the sort of the bass line that they used. It just sort of changed the vibe of it. I hadn't really heard anything quite like that in the way that they did it when it comes to that sort of grindcore, hardcore stuff.
It gave it almost like a punkier kind of feel. And it was giving me Napalm Death, even though I'm not really big on, like, I don't really know much Napalm Death, but I just imagined that's what that is going to sound like for some reason.
Yeah. But there was definitely more of a punk feel to it.
Yeah. It was really good. Really good. Really good. Track five, I really enjoyed that as well. One of my notes on track five was they always find a way to bring in a cool riff, even when there's chaos going on.
Yeah. I felt like that was kind of the way all throughout it. Like they would, you'd be listening to it and you'd be like, wow, this is just kind of straight up grind. You know, it's nuts. You can't really hear what's going on. And then somehow they would go in, they would slow it down or they'd do something where this cool riff then comes in. And I think it's just what elevated it as a grindcore album above pretty much any other grind album I've ever heard, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It definitely gives it that edge of just more to absorb, isn't there? It's not.
Yeah.
It makes it all a little bit interesting. The flow of the album was pretty good as well, actually, yeah, throughout. However, I thought track 6, Iron Lung,
pointless.
I kind of liked what it was doing.
Yeah.
Industrial kind of like interlude, yeah, but it didn't need to be 4 minutes long.
No, it didn't need to be that.
30 seconds to a minute, yeah, would have been perfect.
Yeah, I think you're right, because it was kind of cool to have something there, because that is what they did really well on this with the pacing, is that they would do, it would be like a slow track, a few fast ones and a slower one. And then, yeah, stick in like sort of a noisy industrial thing to kind of just break it all up. And
yeah,
it just made the album much more palatable to listen to from start to finish without it feeling too much.
Yeah. Yeah, really did. I also loved how they sort of brought a bit more like death metal into it as well.
Yeah.
Especially as the album went on, I think it was track 10, Judgment.
Yeah.
There was a really good riff in there. It was kind of giving like Metallica Blackened almost. It had a real like thrashy death metal riff. It was so cool.
Because that one was really fast, and then it sort of slowed it down, the pace a little bit, didn't it? And that's when it kind of went to that. Yeah, really good, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The second half was like a lot more like different paced. It was really cool.
Yeah. Really, and the cool one afterwards, Brain Trust, was one of my favourites.
Yeah, I put Standout.
Yeah.
There was a kind of haunting wind-like vocal / sample that would happen.
Yeah.
That kind of gave this like proper uneasy feeling when listening to it.
Yeah.
It just kind of added to the kind of chaos which was ensuing.
And there was a really good bit in it. I think it was about a minute 40 in, where there was like the bass and drums. It dropped, the guitars dropped out, and it was just going with the bass and drums, and the vocals came in, and that bit was so good, man. That was probably my favorite song on the album.
Yeah, I think so. I think so as well.
And the last proper song as well, Displacement, was another one that was really, really good.
Yes, there was a moment in that actually. They do like this kind of build up, and I thought, because the main thing is the kind of bass line that carries that whole song.
Yeah.
And then they did this kind of build up, and I thought it was going to completely change what it went into. But they sort of went back into that first riff, but the double kick came in. Like,
oh, the double kick, man.
It was
fucking
crazy.
Hell, man.
I really didn't expect it, and it just really elevated that song. It was a good ender.
Yeah, really good. Well, there's another one afterwards actually called Crawl Space, which wasn't on Spotify.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's right. You mentioned that in the week.
Yeah, I looked it up. It was just a load of old noise, like the track 6. It was
Iron Lung.
Same thing, right. Yeah.
Okay, didn't
but,
yeah,
but that song Displacement, like when I first heard that and the pedals came in over that riff, I was like, whoa, this is so good.
Yeah, really good, really good. It was just a good album, man. There wasn't really anything that I wanted to skip apart from Iron Lung.
No.
And there was a couple songs that were like cool but a little bit nondescript. I think that was like especially track 13, Mainliner.
Yeah, I've got, do you know what, I've got no notes about Mainliner, because I think it was just I think it was one of the only ones that didn't have anything particularly special going on.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, it wasn't bad, it just didn't do anything.
No
but other than that, yeah, really enjoyed this record.
Yeah, were you surprised?
Really enjoyed it. I was surprised a little bit, because looking at the artwork, I didn't expect it to be as it was. I was pleasantly surprised. Yeah.
Yeah, I was. I really was. I kind of felt straight from the off. I was like, this is going to be a bit, there's something to this. This could be really quite special.
Yeah.
And then I think by the time I got to God Player, I was like, right, this album's, I can see why this album's so regarded in the grind scene. And I was just thinking, like, I was thinking about this last night before bed. And I was just thinking, like, it's still such a small underground scene, isn't it, grindcore? Considering how long it's been going as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true, actually. Like, it was around, maybe even predated death metal by a year. Like, what was that? Repulsion record.
Yeah.
That was like, that sort of came out before death, didn't it? I remember we sort of had that conversation last time.
Yeah.
But death metal just seems to be so much more, I guess it's because grind is quite fucking hard to get into, isn't it? You've got to be already into quite extreme music, I guess, to get into grind.
Yeah, well, this is what I was thinking last night. I was thinking about the whole grindcore and death metal thing, because on paper, there's a lot of similarities between the two styles, with like the kind of like the pace, the vocal style, and the sort of extremeness to it. But one scene so much bigger than the other, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, it's not even comparable, really. Like,
no, because you think, right, of like the kind of grindcore legends, you've probably got Napalm Death as the main one, but they're not playing arenas, are they? Or
no,
even big venues, they're probably still playing relatively small clubs.
I think they were playing, they're actually playing quite soon.
Oh yeah, they're playing that one with Wormrot and stuff, aren't they?
Yeah, that's Death. Right,
but where's that?
I think it's just in the Electric in Brixton. No, in Brixton. It's like,
oh, okay,
big-ish, but not, yeah, it's not massive.
No, it's a funny genre.
Funny genre.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. Score?
I've got a score for this, yeah.
I haven't got a score for this.
Should I tell you mine?
Yeah, I was wanting to hear yours.
I gave this a 4.7.
That's really high.
I know. I think it deserves it. I was going to give it a 4.8, but I'll dial it back a bit, just because there was a couple of songs on there that were a little bit, not bad, but like a bit nondescript. But as a grindcore album goes, I could probably only think of one other album that I've heard that's as good as this.
Is that the next one?
No, but I'm going to keep it quiet because it does come up when we do the 2000s.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking mid fours, like 4.4. Yeah, I'm going to go with the 4.4.
Man, that's, do you know what, right? This is going to be up there, isn't it? When we do our... Yeah, good for them.
It is a really good album. I don't know, I've just looked at my notes for track one saying Poor Man's Neurosis. But that's a little bit harsh, but it does set the tone nicely for the album.
Also, you say that though, when did Neurosis really come out in that sense? Because they got to be around the same time. And this was...
No, when I say Poor Man's Neurosis, I don't mean that they've ripped
them off.
Neurosis off. I just meant in terms of sound. If you compared the two. But like, if this predated anything that came out post-wise, then yeah, you've got to say hats off to them for bringing that in.
Yeah, and you could say hats off to them because the singer's always wearing a cowboy hat.
Is he?
Have you ever seen that?
No, I've never actually looked at them.
Yeah, he wears like a cowboy hat, and he wears it live as well.
I've just gone to their Spotify. Look at that. Fair play.
So we didn't speak about this at the beginning. So the guy who formed them, Dan Lilker, was in Anthrax.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know how long he was in them. He was a founding member.
Really? That's interesting.
I don't know how long he was in Anthrax for.
It's quite the jump.
He played on Fistful of Metal, their debut.
Did he?
And Armed and Dangerous, whatever that one was.
It's a good little bit of information.
Yeah. And then you form these guys later on.
Damn. Yeah, New York Grindcore in 1990.
Yeah.
Mad. Yeah, good band, man. Like, I'll probably listen to whatever else they've released just to see where that kind of racks in their discography.
I think I get the impression it is their best album.
Their best album, yeah.
Would you do the one that you were laughing at with the Photoshop gorilla?
I forgot about that. I'll have to look at that again. Hang on.
You like that one?
Oh my word! Have you seen the album that came out around? It was 2000 for Drug Crazed.
Yeah, that was a live album, called? I think.
Oh, for Drug Crazed Grind Freaks Only, with the kind of cannabis.
Yeah.
Leaf on the front. That's actually quite sick though. Man, their artwork is weird. It's very weird, very varied. You wouldn't know what band this was.
I was going to say, it's not very consistent, is it, in style?
No, the first one is that kind of old school grind flavor with like gore, but then it just goes to a bit weird, like weird, yeah. That fucking Photoshop one though, wow. That's so bad. We'll have to share that on all our socials, let people see it.
Let people see what they think.
Yeah. Mad. All right. Should we move on?
Yeah. Fucking hell. That album's 74 minutes long, that one.
The Photoshop one.
Yeah.
God. I'm not going to do that one then.
No. All right.
Yeah, let's fast forward towards the end of the decade, 1999, with The Split by From Agoraphobic Nosebleed and Converge, The Poacher Diaries.
Yeah, man. I mean, this split, let's be honest, it's only really here on this week because of Agoraphobic Nosebleed, right? Because Converge aren't a grindcore band.
They're not, no. However, there's elements of grind within their early sound that there's enough to kind of say, okay.
For me as well, I wanted to talk to you about pre-Jane Doe era Converge.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about that because I've never given it time, really.
You've never given it time, have you? I've asked you to.
I know you have, and I just thought, no.
I know you did. And it always really, I never understood why.
Yeah, I don't know.
Laziness, isn't it?
It's not laziness. I'll tell you what it was. I thought you were maybe being...
Elitist.
Elitist, yeah. Like, I only like pre-Jane Doe Converge.
No, because I like... I love Jane Doe Converge. And that, you know, and going on, I do. going forward from that, I love You Fail Me and other ones are there.
That's a great record.
Yeah. No Heroes.
All the good ones.
All the good ones, yeah. All the big hits. I just lost interest in Converge around the sort of Axe to Fall kind of time onwards. I haven't listened to them really since.
Around the newer wild stuff. Dragon Force tapping solos.
Yeah, that's what that is. I basically heard a couple of songs that had that style of riff, and I thought, is this their new sort of sound? And I was like, I'm not really into this, so never really checked out the albums.
They did adopt a kind of pull-offy, tappier kind of sound, but we'll get to Converge when we get to them, because I guess this album starts off with Agoraphobic Nosebleed.
Yeah.
Can you tell me, I haven't looked this up, are these all recorded in the same session for this album, or are they taken from different...
I don't know, but I noticed that the guitar tones sounded different on every song.
Pretty much, yeah. That's what I was going to say. There was a weird production issue of it sounding like a different session each time.
Yeah, I thought that. And I think, like, I mean, it's... So Scott Hull, who's the main guy in it, he's a guitarist and drum programmer, and I imagine he probably just recorded these songs as and when,
yeah.
And then we'll get the other guys in to do whatever their parts are on top of it.
It's a completely drum machine band, right?
Oh yeah, gotcha. And it's very obvious as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy on the blast. You're like, hang on a minute. But I found something quite strange with the drum production, especially on a couple of tracks. The toms sounded so wet and like loud.
Yeah.
It was a very bizarre... If you're going to program drums, I don't know why you'd keep that sound.
I mean, you think this was 99. I was just wondering if kind of synthetic drums from back then just weren't that... You didn't have that level of control. Or yeah, it's intentional, maybe. Or maybe it's just like, you know, it's supposed to be this kind of quite harsh, quite hard to listen to.
Yeah, that's true.
Sort of thing. Maybe it's intentional. I don't know.
That's true. So yeah, okay. Well, have you been into this band before?
Again, a little bit like Brutal Truth. I had listened to them before, but I could never get through an album.
Yeah, okay. Okay. How did you find this one then?
I mean, this was quite cool in the sense that it was what, 9 songs or something like that they did on here? Maybe 11 or something like that. I liked them. I enjoyed it. But it was nothing particularly standout for me, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I get what you're saying.
It was it was an enjoyable experience listening to their half of The Split, but I think if I wasn't doing it for the pod, I'd probably let it play through and not pay much attention to it, really.
Yeah, I sort of can understand that point. I thought there were a couple of moments that were really cool. Track 2, Center of the Hive, it had a really kind of Slayer style riff at the start, and then there was some really cool, like, one thing that I liked that Agoraphobic Nosebleed did, they were adding like a lot of chugging triplet-y kind of riffs that I really enjoyed, because it's sort of like just chilled out from the grind.
Yeah.
But I think, well, actually, who do you think had the better split?
Of this?
Yeah.
Converge.
Do you?
Yeah.
Interesting. Why?
I just think, I think their half of the split's really good.
Yeah, their split was, all right, so from, this is one of my first real deep, I say deep dive, it's only like six songs they did, wasn't it, or five?
Six.
Into pre-Jane Doe Converge, right?
Yeah.
It was,
yeah, what do you
it
think?
Was interesting.
We're going straight on to Converge, are we? Or are we doing it at the same time?
Oh, fuck. Oh, same time.
Go on.
Because I do want to go back to Agoraphobia. All right. We'll go back to Agoraphobia Nosebleed after I've just finished this point.
Go on then, finish your point.
Sorry, listeners, we're jumping around all over the place.
That's right, where John is.
yeah.
I'm trying to keep it on. I'm trying to steer it, but John's...
Okay, yeah.
John's like John's like a wild man, like a wild sailor, drunk on...
I'm like a grind album, mate. You just...
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's all over the place. Chaos.
It's chaos.
Listen, it's better than last episode. That was fucking boring.
Wow. Never put down your own work.
I'm putting yours down as well.
Cheers, mate.
Sorry, mate.
Converge. Really enjoyed it. There was a kind of franticness to it that I was expecting, and knowing what Jane Doe was like, I was surprised to hear there was a lot more, again, I want to call it post-metal, but you know what I'm saying, that kind of more build-up, repetitive kind of cleaner leads. There was a lot more of that than I was expecting. I thought that came post Jane Doe. I thought that they were straight, you know.
No, that doing that kind of stuff and having those almost like weirder but mellower parts to their songs, they were doing that on the releases before this split as well.
Got you. I liked it. I really liked it. Yeah. Really cool. I found they were probably more on the hardcore end of the spectrum of this split, because there was like some kind of breakdowns in there as well. There was even some gang vocals in there.
Yeah.
I don't know if they necessarily stood the test of time, those kind of just chugging on zero with a breakdown pattern in this kind of grindcore setting.
Yeah.
But enjoyed it. Definitely enjoyed it.
Were you expecting that from them, that they used to kind of have breakdowns and stuff, Converge?
Yes, I was expecting that. Because I sort of, they do it. Yeah, they do it on Jane Doe, don't they? So I sort of...
That's true, they do.
Yeah. I thought there would be that kind of element to it.
Were they, at this point in the band as well, I think it was on this split as well, they had two guitarists as well.
Right.
Before.
Yeah.
So I think Jane Doe, when they got to Jane Doe, was when it just came down to just Kurt Ballou on guitar. But they had, I think it's Aaron Dalbeck was the guitarist as well.
Okay.
Was he in Bane? I think he was in Bane as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you think he maybe brought a more hardcore influence to it? I don't know.
I don't know, man.
But yeah, really cool. Out of the kind of like five Converge tracks, which is my favourite.
What do you think, John?
Maybe the first track, man. Maybe Locust Rain.
That's the... that was kind of quite a big song for them back, like...
Oh, was it?
Back in the day. Yeah. And this was like... The reason why I was always keen for you to check them out is like, when there's definitely more of a metal element to their sound on this stuff pre-Jane Doe as well, isn't there?
Yeah, you can hear that.
They always used to say they used to like to sort of recycle Slayer riffs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they used to say that they were, back then, they were kind of all about the sort of the Slayer-y type riffs mixed in with hardcore and stuff. They were definitely like...
You can hear that.
Yeah. They were definitely like, probably one of the best like metalcore bands of that time, you know, that actually really mixed in metal and hardcore.
Well, they've stood the test of time as well, haven't they? I mean, they're still going relatively strong, man. They're still, they can sell out shows. And
oh, Matt, I mean, look, they're bigger than ever now, right? Would you say?
I mean, I guess so, yeah.
Or have they peaked? Did they peak a little bit in popularity and they're sort of leveling off?
Yeah, possibly. I think maybe like Axe to Fall, and maybe the album after they started, there was a slight decline.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, they were definitely crazy, crazy huge at one point. I mean, even within the scene, like, you couldn't go to a show without seeing a Jane Doe t-shirt, could you? It was just, it was everywhere. It was like maybe the biggest iconography in hardcore.
It's almost post-hardcore. That like modern, it's almost the modern version of the Misfits, isn't it? It's the new kind of skull, the new ghoul sort of face. But I just find it really interesting to sort of hear the stuff that they did pre-Jane Doe compared to what they're doing now. They're almost like two different bands.
They are, but at the same time, you can hear, if you listen to like later Converge, you can hear that what they're doing then was just expanding on the kind of smaller elements that they were doing back in the day, like Minnesota, the last track. It was very post-metal like, and they sort of do that a lot more on albums later down the line. So it wasn't like night and day completely different to me.
No.
It was just kind of hearing the, you know, the origins. It was like the fucking origin story of their band, which is cool.
Good. Well, I'm glad you liked it, John. Would you think you would listen to more of their old stuff?
I'd give it time. I probably should have listened to it more when you suggested it first time, because I was way heavily into Converge then than I am now.
Yeah.
So I would have enjoyed it a lot more then, I reckon, but oh well, it's what you get for sleeping on it.
I tell you one thing that I forgot that they did on this that I found quite weird was hearing them using samples and stuff.
Yes. They did that on one of the tracks, didn't they? It was quite a long talking sample.
But they did a few. They did a few samples on there. They did. There was a Fear and Loathing sample as well in there, and I checked out the Redux version. So Kurt Ballou he remixed it as like an EP. He didn't do the agoraphobic nosebleed side, which it's just a shame, which that he probably should have done that.
Yeah, that would have been cool. But
yeah, but he took the samples out of that version.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, it's quite a dated thing, isn't it, putting samples and stuff in there.
Yeah, massively is. It's quite a grindcore thing as well, isn't it? Samples. It's quite synonymous with that.
Yeah, and I don't remember it being on any of their other older stuff. So I wonder if it was just this thing they wanted to do because Agoraphobic Nosebleed were doing the same sort of thing.
Yeah, potentially. All right, let me just sort of reverse and go back to Agoraphobic Nosebleed.
He's backing up.
I know, he's backing up. I thought their part of the split was more enjoyable.
Really?
Even though I enjoyed Converges. Yeah, man. I really loved it. There were moments that I thought were really cool. Bed of Flies, it had like a kind of punkier feel to it. Mm-hmm. I think maybe I like punkier grindcore than metalier grindcore, if that makes sense.
Do you think there's more clarity in the punkier stuff? Like you can hear the riffs more?
Yeah, possibly. Bed of Flies definitely had a really cool riff as well in it, so that was one that was cool. Mm-hmm. Gringo, I thought was really cool.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Very powerful song. Like a kind of thicker, chunkier riff, which carried it, which I thought was really cool. And another favourite of mine, Centre of the Hive, with that kind of Slayer ripoff.
Yeah.
Riff. Those three songs were really cool.
Did you like, it was track three, Glass Tornado, which was a bit more of like a, it was almost quite straight up, like sort of driving, not like I don't want to say rocky, but it was the
it was like a mid tempo, wasn't it? Almost,
yeah, that was quite a nice change in sort of mixing up the pace. Yeah,
it was, but that was the first song where I noticed the production drastically changed. Like the guitar tone sounded just so, it's like they dropped the treble out of it and it was kind of weird.
Was there any bass on this?
Yeah, actually, was it? Yeah.
It wasn't kind of prominent sonically though, was it?
No, I'm looking at my notes and I think actually the bass track that I'm thinking of was in the band before.
There was loads of bass in Brutal Truth.
Yeah, maybe not actually.
But I think they do have a bass player. I just don't remember it being that. Remember it felt like it was lacking a bit of bass in the production.
Yeah, the production wasn't the best. But I didn't mind that.
It was charming.
So yeah, it was charming to some extent. But I was looking up Agoraphobic Nosebleed on Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
Like he was involved with some the main dude behind it involved with like some big names.
Well, he was in Anal C Word, wasn't he?
Anal C Word and Pig Destroyer, I think.
Yeah, he's in Pig Destroyer. That's his main band.
Mad, because I remember you said on the last episode that they like never really played live.
No, did you see that? So their first gig they ever played was at that New England Metal and Hardcore Festival, and Pig Destroyer were playing, and then they just cut their set short so Agoraphobic Nosebleed could come on and play two songs.
That's right, two songs, which would have been over in.
Yeah, I'm guessing. Yeah, they must have been on for about 20 seconds or something, and then they did their first full live show in 2015 at Maryland Death Fest, which I remember this. I remember when it was announced they were playing. It was quite a big deal.
That's crazy.
Well, considering they formed in 1994.
Yeah, mad, and so openly used drum tracks, sample drums and stuff, drum machines.
Yeah.
But that was fine. Like, no one seemed to care about it.
Yeah. No.
I don't know. It's cool.
Yeah. It's, they're a really interesting band.
Yeah, they are.
Proper kind of side project band, if you know what I mean. And it seems like they've had a different vocalist for pretty much every release as well.
Oh, have they? I assumed it was the main dude that had been in it from the start.
No, they had. So there was a guy, Jay Randall did the vocals on this, and he was in ISIS, the band.
Was he? Yeah. And, good clarification there.
Just to clarify. And yeah, he was the vocalist on this, but then they've had loads of vocalists.
What did he do in ISIS? Guitar?
I don't know.
It was Aaron Turner was on vocals, wasn't he, in ISIS?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was the vocalist of ISIS, but yeah, I don't know if he was bass player or guitarist or. But the. Yeah, so I'll tell you how many vocalists they've had, John. They have had. How many? Seven.
Wow. Over how many albums? Three.
Four.
It's actually.
Yeah, but they've done so many split, like 7 inches and stuff.
They've had seven vocalists over four albums and only played live once.
Yeah.
How does that work?
I don't know. Well, yeah, I don't know. There might be ones that just vocalists never did anything. It was just in the band.
Yeah.
No, they did a lot of like smaller releases that weren't albums.
Yeah, you sent me a link of that music video.
That was Brutal Truth.
Oh, no, that was Brutal Truth, wasn't it? Yeah, it was 10 seconds long.
It was 4 seconds.
Four, fucking hell.
Wait, let me just see. Let me just have a look. Shortest music video ever. I wonder if it is that. It is that. I thought I read that it was the shortest music video ever.
Like a Guinness World Record?
Yeah, it was something like that. Oh, no, wait. Oh, maybe they're still saying it's Napalm Death.
Oh, with what?
That song You Suffer. Which is a minute, which is a second long, the actual song is.
How long was the music video? A second?
Three.
3 seconds? Fuck.
Yeah.
That's mad.
Imagine if you really went like high budget for those 3 seconds as well.
I wonder how high budget you could realistically get it in 3 seconds. Anything more to add on Agra?
No, not really. Not really. I'm surprised. Do you know what? I thought you weren't going to have much time for it.
Well, it doesn't take long, does it?
No.
This album was only half an hour. I think it was 35 minutes, so I could actually do it a couple of times. I did it a couple of times this morning. I was going to say at the start, like, quiz me and see if you can tell if I've listened to it or not.
Yeah, and you would have done me on it, wouldn't you? Made me look like a fool.
I would have. Or I could have given you some incorrect answers to make it seem like I'd...
I know, and do you know what... I
got it wrong and I got it right.
And I haven't got that many notes for Agoraphobic Nosebleed because I didn't think you were going to be that bothered about it. So
let's jump back in then.
Don't quiz me.
Yeah.
I'll be just going, yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then that happens. Last thing I was going to say about this, though, is I thought the actual drum programming, like what Scott Hole was like doing on it, was really, really good.
Really good, yeah.
There was a lot of attention to detail in what he was doing, where he was putting fills and stuff. Even though the drums didn't sound natural in the slightest, like...
Yeah.
The beats that he was playing sounded really authentic.
Good. Yeah, agreed. Like, if it wasn't for one, the production, and two, the crazily fast like blast that you would just throw in there.
Yeah.
You'd have a harder time knowing that it was programmed drums, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, really good. Really good.
All right, how are we scoring this one? Are we scoring it as a whole thing?
Score it as a whole. Yeah, we've got to score it as a whole.
So wait, but I think though, I've got two scores for it. So should I add them together and divide by two?
Divide by two, yes.
So I've given Agoraphobic Low Speed a 3.8.
Mm-hmm.
And I've given Converge a 4.3.
Okay.
So I'm going to add them together, right? A bit of maths here. 8.1 divided by two. 4.05. I'll just give it a straight up four.
Yeah, that feels fair. I'm going to go 3.9.
3.9, you know, the classic.
The classic 3.9.
The classic don't want to stick your neck out.
Yeah, it's kind of on the fence, isn't it, 3.9?
It's on the fence, yeah.
Not,
you sit on the fence.
For four,
firmly
but it's not
on the
shit,
fence.
But
fence post up your anus.
Yes, thanks for that.
Picture that image.
Yeah. I'm going to go 3.9.
3.9.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
Okay. All right, good.
Big scores for the grind, boys.
It was a good week. It was a good week.
Yeah, it was. It was an enjoyable listen, man. They were fun listens.
I needed that week, man, after Prague.
After Prague, yeah. Well, then, okay, what's next then?
Right, let's have a look. So I'll tell you what we've got next. And I think this list is done now. So we can these are going to be the final apps of the 90s. So we've got folk, speed,
yep,
symphonic, and British. British metal.
I feel like we have to end on British because we've spoken about it. We've really bigged up the British metal. I'm going to say let's hit symphonic.
Okay. You've been looking forward to this. I know that.
Right, I've got one.
Go on.
And I'm so pleased. It's Emperor, Anthems at the Welkin at Dusk. Anthems to the Welkin at Dusk.
Nice.
Yeah.
You must be over the moon.
Yes, finally, an Emperor record.
Do you know that one well?
Pretty well. It's not my go-to.
It's not your go-to.
There are some incredible songs on it that I'm excited to talk about.
Okay.
Yeah, like maybe one of the, without bigging it up too much, maybe one of the best black metal songs ever written.
Really? Don't tell me which one it is.
Okay, no.
I'll see if I agree. Well, we've got symphonic metal, but I've got another symphonic black metal album.
I mean, I'm not mad.
I know you're not. You love symphonic black metal, don't you?
I'm quite the fan.
What is symphonic metal? It's got like a classical element to it. Is that what it is?
It's more using arrangements of like strings and bringing in the kind of like symphony element of classical.
Right. Yeah.
Within the
That's
kind
what I said.
Of yeah, kind of.
Okay. All right.
Who have you got?
I've got Dimmu Borgir.
Okay. Yeah, I'm down. What album?
Enthroned Darkness Triumphant. 97. She must be quite an early one, right?
Yeah, it must be. Let me have a look. That one.
Do you know this one?
I've never done this one.
I've never really listened to them properly.
I've only listened to, I think it was, what's the album called? For All Tid or something. I mean, it was like one of their early ones.
What, earlier than this?
Unsure. When did this come out? 97?
97, yeah. How old are they as a band?
I think their first record was like 95 or 96.
Is it?
Yeah, so it's early on. Okay, I think this is going to be good, man. I think it's going to be some good black metal, yeah. Damn, right. I feel like we've like somehow managed to do black metal like four times in the 90s.
Yeah, we have, haven't we? We've done a lot of black metal.
Not mad at that.
No, you're not mad at it, no.
No.
Okay, well, that's next week then. Symphonic metal. Well, symphonic black metal
yeah,
is what it was actually I, yeah, turned out to be.
It seems to be, yeah. But hey, that's just the way the cookie crumbles.
That's it. That's the way the dice has rolled. Or the,
exactly. The Shuffle has shuffled.
The Shuffle shuffled, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. All right, I'm excited for that.
Okay, well, we'll see you next week then for Symphonic Black Metal.
Wow, is that it? Is that the mic ending? Is that all we're getting?
Yeah, I'm trying to do it a little bit more sort of natural and quick.
Well, that just wasn't even an ending. It was just like, cheers, man, bye.
Well, I was gonna add a bit more.
Oh, God, sorry. I jumped in too soon.
You jumped in too soon. You've interrupted the flow. Well, check us all out on our socials, eh, John?
Yep, please do.
Please do. Well, now it's gone all awkward and shit again.
Yeah, but they're the best times.
And we'll see you next week for Symphonic Black Metal.
Just Symphonic. Just Symphonic Metal.